And I'm just more and more aware of, as we come together in God's presence and as we gather, that God is here and that in some sense we must respond. I've realized too many times in my own life, I've come to church or wherever, I heard God speaking to me, then I'll write it down in my book and I'll go home and I put my book in away, and next Sunday morning I'll pick it up again and then I'll go to church again and I'll write in my book. And there's so many things that God actually speaking to me, but I didn't take time to reflect on it again or actually to implement it in my life. And just last week when Rian shared about money matters, I realized over this weekend also God spoke to me through that specific things. You can download it. It's actually on the website. So, and it was really good, but that is a reminder, or it's words that come to us. God is alive. He's speaking to us in various ways. And I believe for us as a church, He will often say certain things, and then we need to respond in our own capacity, or sometimes as a church, or sometimes as a small group. But I really pray that we will not become casual in the Lord's presence. Sometimes it's very easy just to be casual. This is something that we do, it's a good thing, so we just do it. And this morning in the worship, I had an urgency. That's why I said, to just speak to the Lord. I'm not sure why it's there, but I just sense that just use the time, say to the Lord whatever you want to say, whatever you want to pray for. Just do it. So it's at the end of our series, You Are What You Love. I believe this is, the Lord spoke to me. It started in India, where I ministered to the people there and realized that just as they add Christianity onto all the other idols that they worship, we do the same. And we also add Christianity on. And then often we'll say we serve God, but we still continue to do all the other things that we used to do. And I'm not saying that when you start serving God that your life must be perfect and everything must be sorted out, but there are certain things that are stealing our heart. And I think each one will know, or you'll be aware of those things. Remember the scripture where we started was John 1. John 1 verse 35 to 38, where Jesus was walking and He said to the disciples, He turned around, He saw them following, and He said to them, "What are you seeking? What is it what you want?" That's where we started. Because what you want will shape the way you live, it will shape certain things, how you organize your life. And some of these things are just going to be a recap of what we spoke about. But specifically today, that we will take something and write it down. So at the end, I will also give you a paper. But maybe there's one thing or two things that you want to write down, that you want to change. Because if we look at our lives and how we spend our lives and where our money, our energy, our time is going, it's all linked to things that we want. It's often linked to things that we really like. And then it's easy to see where our values are, what is really important in our lives, and also the things that we love. And I realized that often discipleship, becoming like Jesus, there's a place where it's actually more a hunger for something, more than just knowing about things. I can do Bible school and I can know all the knowledge, but if I'm not hungry for God, I'm just going to go to Bible school. And I'm just going to make all the notes and put it in my cupboard and file it and write my exam and get my certificate and move on with life, and another box is ticked. And maybe I'll frame it on the wall and live happily ever after. But if I want to move closer to God, I need a hunger and a thirst for God. And I realize it, even in my own life, I will know if I want to do something. Often my actions, I will decide there's a goal, there's something that I want to reach, something that I want to do. So I'll take that goal and I'll say, okay, this is how I'm going to get there. This is what I'm going to do. Because there's a desire to get there. There's a desire. And I pray that each one of us, that we will take stock, that we will see, okay, this is where I want to go. This is what I want. and that those things will be aligned with the Word of God. So it's a hunger and a thirst. And it's really actions driven by love. What we do is driven by the things that we want. The problem is those actions, those things that we do, if we do it often enough, it becomes habits. And then without us realizing, then we're just doing these things without thinking. Some of the guys say that I've read that they say habits form about 40% of the things that we do every day. It's just based on habits. And our brain likes a habit because then it can take a shortcut without having to think about everything through. So this is what we do. You stand up and you do you've got probably your routine, those things that you need to do before you get in your car, before you go to work, what you do when you get to work, you make your coffee first, and you switch on your computer, and quickly it gets into certain habits where we don't think about those things anymore. And it's just part of our lives. But those things are often shaped by something that we want. That's where it started. Or something that needs to happen. So we put it in place. And we need to realize that it's actually forming habits. And often those habits are difficult to break. It's difficult to change the way we live and to change what we do. I just want to read for us. Just want to go one step back. Romans 5 verse 8. For Romans 5 verse 7, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. This is just what Jesus did for us. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, God died for us. And then 1 John 4, it says, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And then verse 10 is, in this is love. Not that we have loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And that is a very good example of this love, of how love works. God looked at us and he realized that sin brought a vision between us and him, and he wanted to dwell with us, and he wanted to spend time with us. He wanted us to dwell together. So he made a plan. But love was first. He loves us. So he made a plan. And these are the things that we know. We hear it often. But this thought, I just want to say it again. That it was the love of God that was driving those actions. It was the love of God for each one of us that allowed him to, he made that plan, and Jesus came. And then the amazing thing in 1 John 4 verse 19, it says, we love because he first loved us. It doesn't say we love Jesus or we love anything. We love. We've got the ability to love because Jesus first loved us. And that's just, it's something amazing. And today we are all lovers of something. We're all love certain things, and the devil, he just wants to come and captivate those loves, almost those capacity for love. You want to bring a counterfeit. You want to bring something like that McDonald's burger when you're hungry, just that you can either make good food and you can stay full for a long time, or just take a McDonald's burger and then you can just go through the KFC drive-thru and the Burger King all the way. In America, they had them stacked up like that. So you can just go through them all. Those takeaways, those things in our life, there's often those things, it's there, it's counterfeits. Because it's an effort to stay there, in God's presence. Definitely in the beginning, it might be. You say, Lord, I want to hear your voice, but I just got this few minutes, and tonight I want to hear again. So I just got a few minutes again. And then this is how it's going to work out for me. I've got a few minutes now, a few minutes tonight, and then I just want to hear you, God. And I hope this is going to fit in how it's going to happen. And God just wants, He wants more than that. He wants companionship. He wants us to dwell together. And the starting point is to actually just to stop and to take stock. To start writing down. You get very nice software that tracks everything that you do on your computer throughout the day, and then it gives you a summary of everything. So you've spent this much time on Facebook, and this is what your internet browser, this is Outlook, this is actually maybe a software that you work on, and they just give you a summary. It's just a thingy that runs in the background. But I believe it's time for us, just after we've said many things through the series, that we just sit down and you take stock. And he said, this is how my life looks at the moment. These are the things that fills my life. This is how much time I give to all these things. Sometimes we don't even realize when there's habits taking up our time. Because it's just a habit. We don't think about it every day. We just go with the flow. But there's things that it takes our time. And we are made to worship. We are made to love. So there's definitely things in your life that you are loving right now. It's taking some of that capacity to love. And I know for myself, I must go and sit down because I'm not the best planner. Lee, always joke, I say, her love language is planning. If I plan a day, she'll say, what are you going to do tomorrow? Then I say, we'll see. It's not great. And she will tell me this. But you get much more done. But you also realize where you're wasting time. Because she will say, unplanned time flow to my weakness. If I didn't plan the time, then you might find yourself browsing on the internet because you didn't plan it. It's unplanned time. It will by default flow to a weakness. Often. So those are things that I think that we must take stock. We must think about our lives. Even if we want to get to a new place, want to do something different, then it's going to be a step where you say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I often use the example of marathons. I know marathons and long distance running. I can relate to that. And I know if I've got a new thing that I want to run, I need to start training for it. And I need to put the time in and train. Else I'm really going to hurt myself if I get anywhere close to the finish line. So there's always a decision. This is where I want to go. This is how I'm going to get there. And these are the things that I have to change. So the first thing when the guys want to run Comrades, I say, okay, you must first get the routine and you must be able to run so many times a week and what. And then they will often say in the last few months before Comrades, they say bye to your family, greet your wife, say you'll see her again after the 30th of May, because that's when Comrades is happening. Before that, you're going to spend a lot of time on your own, on the road, away from your family. So somewhere there, you made a decision that it's okay. I'm going to count this cost and I'm going to do this. And then you start to do it. And I think it's easier for us to get it right with just stuff that we want to do. It comes down to what you want to do. So I want to run Comrades and I make plans and I sort out everything. And the challenge is for us to look at our hearts, what we want, and to align it with God's word. And then also to make plans, and also to be so diligent. Also to look, Dr. Zeus. He said, today you are, that is truer than truth. There is no one alive who is you than you. You know yourself. Yeah, I'll just read it a couple of times, and you'll realize that you know yourself. You know what's going on in your life. You know what's true to your heart. You know what's close to your heart. You know everything. And I think God has come and he made an invitation to us. He said, let's look, let's take stock. Let's start changing. And to do this, it is not going to be easy. We'll have to look at those routines, those things that we just do. But the good thing is that God has put, Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11, said God has put eternity into the hearts of men. He's put a hunger and a thirst for eternity into our hearts. There's something there that only God can fill. We can try to fill it in many other ways. And you might have all your testimonies and all your stories of all the stuff that you wanted to try to fill something to satisfy you. It will not work. Because there's a place for God. And Bruce Springsteen, he wrote the song, Everybody's Got a Hungry Heart. Everybody's got a hungry heart. And we might be filling it at the moment with takeaways, with McDonald's burgers, and we're just hungry again. It's not filling, it's not satisfying. And the Bible says, Psalm 42, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? There's many scriptures that talks about this thirst for God. Isaiah 55, come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. The Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus was talking to the crowd, he said, blessed, happy, fortunate. It's blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. Blessed are you when you hunger for righteousness, when you hunger to do things right, when you hunger for God. And then Jesus said in John 6, he said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And he's actually saying that I will satisfy that hunger, that thirst. I will do it for you. That's the promise that's there. We all got hungry hearts. So the one key for me is I will have to look at my activities, the things that I do. See where are those things that really become habits and what it's linked to what kind of loves. What are those things that I want? What are those things that's important for me? That I can take stock of those things. And then I believe it, another key is going to be relationships. Firstly, a relationship with God, and then just a relationship with one another. As we come together and we start sharing, this is what God told me, this is what I'm convicted about, this is what I'm challenged about, so this is what I want to change. So if I would really want to change something, then I tell it to Lee. And then she said, over a week, Yaku, how's it going? How are you doing? It's like, okay, I'll get back on track. And then she said, how are you doing? And slowly but surely, I'm getting there. And I build it and I make the change. And I can see I benefit from that. It's a good thing. Because there were times where I felt convicted that this is what God is telling me. This is what I must do. And that's why I decided it's what I'm going to do. But if I just keep it for myself and I don't tell anyone about it, then it's so easy just to back out. If I'm training for a race and I don't tell anyone, then you won't even know if I pitched. I can enter, but I don't have to go. Nobody will know. And so I believe another key is just relationships. As we come together, and it can happen in various ways. But we have just as we come together here, this is also helping us to change our habits, to change our actions, to change things. As we come to church, this is where we come together, we hear from God. As we come in small group, as we just visit one another, as we just see people around us and start sharing and say, this is what God is doing in my life. Help me. Help me with this, help me with that. So definitely taking stock and then relationships, helping one another to change. and to be accountable to. I told some of you when Lee and I, we were in Stillby many years ago, she did life-saving at school, so she's a good swimmer. I didn't do any swimming at school or nothing. So we went into the beach that day, and we just swam, and then she said she wanted to swim behind the big waves. We were still, I think we were engaged at the time, so I thought, okay, it's probably a good thing I will go with her behind the big waves, and I can do this. So there behind the big waves, at a certain point, I turned around and I saw the beach is very far. It was actually very small. And then I realized that there's a current and it's just pulling us deeper and deeper and deeper. So I don't know if you know that point where you just go into survival mode, where you realize you can't fight anymore, you must just hang in there. So that was one of those moments. So I realized I can just stand on my toes and push against the current, and then I just stay there at one place. So I decided, okay, I'm just going to float, and we just float into the sea. So fortunately, the lifesavers came with their boat and everything, and then they throw those tubes, and they swam to Lee, and she said, no, no, it's fine, just go past. He's in danger. So they sent the lifesavers to me, and I was just, help, help, I'm here, help me. They threw that tube, and I just held on. I decided this guy is going to work for his money because I'm so tired. So you just hang in on, and then they swim you out to the boat. But the moral of that story is we were drifting. We didn't realize how we were drifting and how far we drifted until I looked around and I saw what is happening. And what I sense God was telling me is, for us today, it's so easy to drift. It's so easy to drift from where you want to be or where you think you are. So if you don't take stock, if you don't turn around, and if there's not a reference point somewhere, we might not even realize how far we are drifting. And we might not even know where we are at that point where we cry for help. And then the tubes must come out and everything, and it's a whole big story. And I believe God is just, that's what I believe God is saying today is for us, is as we take stock, that we can also check, where are we? Are we drifting? Are we drifting, slowly drifting away from God? Or is it a time where we just need to take stock and turn around? And that reference point, we don't know if we're drifting if there's not a reference point. If there's not somewhere where I can see, okay, I started there, and now I'm way out. I believe that reference point is the Word. It's God's Word. As we spend time, as we got to know what the will of God, as we read God's Word, that is our reference point that we can align our lives with. Because at this stage, everything is coming. We've talked about it many times, how the world is just, everything wants your attention, all the marketing and everything. Many years ago, there was no internet, no cell phones, nothing. So when you were alone, you were alone. It's just you. Now we are alone in a crowd. From all the marketing and everything, we can be here among a lot of people and still be alone. And that's just something that just changed over the years. I've seen a new design on the internet. The guy made a metal hoop this big. Then he hangs it over his shoulders, almost like that thing with a djembe. It hangs on his body. And it's just protecting his personal space. Then he walks with this thing. And you want to sell it for everyone that's got a very small personal space, that people can't come close to you, and you can put this on and work and walk through the mall and everywhere. And that's the world where we get to. And you want to patent this metal ring. It's crazy. So that is... that's the stuff, the world we live in. And this morning, as we take stock, as we think about The one thing is just to think, well, are we drifting? Are we moving away? And did I maybe replace some of the love, God placed a capacity to love inside each one of us. And some of those love, is it maybe going in the wrong direction? Is it maybe going into an area where it's not supposed to go? An idol represents anything that's competing with God for your ultimate loyalty. Anything that competes with God and robbing God of the devotion and the glory that He deserves, that has become an idol. And this is what it's all about, this identifying these things that are robbing us of our devotion that belongs to God. It might be work, might be family, might be a marriage, can be different things. Can be something that we don't even realize that's an idol. There's something that takes all our devotion, everything, into a certain area. There's definitely a balance for all of those things. I'm just saying that is there's a longing that God wants to come and He wants our hearts. And there's a place where we need to trust God and worship God first. And how's it gonna? And we will realize when I was planning the India trip, the first thing that I was worried about is 16 days away from Lee and the kids, 7 days that I can't speak to them, I have no contact. So there was definitely a certain stage where I had to sit down with God and actually pray through this thing, because I just realized India, and I say yes, let's go to India, and it's great. And this is what God wanted to do. And then at a certain point, it just struck me, what about my family and everything? And I realized that this is what I believe I must do. And I actually just sat down and I just prayed through this thing until my heart was just settled that it's fine. They will be fine. But that's just a practical way. I just thought about it. Even when I... my first job as a programmer was probably still the best job, best paid and everything, and everything was there. The fridge is stocked with stuff, and if you work late, you just claim for pizzas from your company credit card, and everything was amazing. But God opened that door for me. It was just here across the road. That's where the company is at the moment. But when Lee and I talked about marriage, and she worked for De Beers, and with her moving to Kleinsee, we believed that this is what we're going to do. We're going to get married, and we're going to move together there. And there was a certain stage, I still remember, I sat there at, just below Table Mountain on a rock and overlooking Cape Town. And just praying through this thing, I said, Lord, I've got this great job now, and You've opened this door, and I remembered 4 weeks that I've prayed for this job. I stopped all my other applications. I believe this is the place where I must be. I know it's over my... I'm not qualified for the job, but I'm going to trust You for this. And then the opportunity came, and it was a year and a half, and now I believe this is what we must do, but I've got this just a great job, a great company. And then people will tell you, don't leave the job. Just let Lee go. Get married, let her go, and then you just have a long-distance relationship. And then after a year, the beer said they will send her back to Cape Town. That didn't happen. But they said they're going to send her back, so then you guys can just unite again. So I'm just speaking about a specific situation for me. I'm not saying this is how it works in general. You must pray and hear from the Lord. But that is what we believed we must go. So I had to settle that thing in my heart. I had to pray through it. The one said, this is what I want. I want a job. This is the job that I wanted. This is everything I want. And now there's this other thing I believe we need to go. So I prayed through that. I I say, Lord, something in my heart, something help me to figure this out and to work it through. And for a year I was without work in Clancier, but it wasn't a problem because I just know, Lord, you open the door there, you can open the door again in Clancier. And the Lord did that. But those are some of the things how it was very practical for me. Something in my heart that I want, and how my actions and everything was shaped around that. And then when something else comes that I believe I must do, and now I must pray about it again, because my heart is not there. Even though I feel God is telling me this, I've got many stories like that. Just coming into the ministry, I remember three months, just praying and working through things and just changing some of my desires, things. But basically it came down to a point where I had to say, Lord, I trust in you. I don't trust anymore in my own abilities or in these companies or these great people. I trust in you. And because I trust in you, I can make a decision to follow you and just trust that you will come through for me again, because you don't change. Psalm 135. It says, the idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak. They have eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear. Nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. This is just speaking of the idols, the things that we make. Things that we, whatever it is, what we've created, whatever thing is, what we worship, what we've placed instead of God. So the invitation today is really to look at our lives and to start changing it to a life that is connected to the right loves, almost, where there's a love for God that's present in our lives, and that will shape actions. And that's what I trust for, that I need to sit with Lee and also speak about our family, our home. I want our home to be a place where we love God. So how is that going to look? Because something is going to change. Something, there's going to be, there's an action. Something that we need to do to start that process. So I just quickly want to ask you to hand out papers, a small paper for each one. We're not going to hand it in or anything, or you're not going to write the exam. I just want you to write something on there. This morning we heard a few things again, and we've heard many things over the last couple of weeks. And maybe there's one thing that stands out. Maybe there's one thing that you just say that you took stock. You reflect, maybe a new goal, a new desire, something that the Lord has laid in your heart, or something that you just want to get to in your relationship with the Lord. And then I want you to write an action. So there's a goal where you want to get to, and then an action, just something that you're gonna do. So do you want to? Maybe in the beginning of the year, very practical, I said I want to know the Bible better. So I realized then I must make time for Bible reading. And I realized that I don't have a plan to read the Bible. So that I decided I'm going to make time to read. I'm going to get a reading plan and then start reading the Bible. And as I continue in that thing will create a habit. That's just a simple example. But there's a goal, there's somewhere where I want to get to, and there's an action, something that I had to do. You must share the pens. But maybe there's this, maybe you don't have everything worked out yet. Maybe there's just something that's burning on your heart, or something that you think about often, something that you want to Say, Lord, I want to get there. Then just write down that thing. Maybe all the other detail isn't there yet. And you take it with you, and the next step will be to share it with someone. To talk with someone about it. To pray together with someone. So we make the plan, we reflect on our lives, and then in relationship we come together and we talk about these things and we help one another. Maybe, I'm just thinking, maybe this is a bad habit. It's something that you want to stop. That you want to write down. Then that's the same way. It's also reflecting, taking stock. This is what's going on in my life. And Lord, this is what I want to stop. So you must ask God, ask Him for a specific thing. What can you change? What can you do different? Amen. I trust that each one of you, that you have got something out of this series. This is what I believe God wanted us to talk about. And we will still talk about in our small groups. Maybe also about the love for people. This for us as a church in this season. Really trust God. Think about also those relationships. When we come together, opportunities when we come together. Just to make use of it and just to come and to be part. I realize that I want to build certain habits into my children's lives. Some of that is just coming to church. I want them to know that we go to church. I'm building it in. They don't know, they don't decide at the moment, because they like children's church, so that helps a lot. But I'm building those habits into their lives. I know this is a good thing. When we come together, I know they benefit from it. So sometimes it's going to be difficult just to change something, but do the right thing, and it becomes easier and easier, and a new habit will start in your life. But we're just going to end off with a song. I want you to, you can just stand with me, and as we sing, maybe this is. You just realize there's an area in your life that you've been drifting. You've been drifting away, and you didn't realize. And then today is a great opportunity just to connect. We already connected with the Lord in the beginning, in the worship. We already responded. And I sense that urgency. I'm still not sure what. That's why I said I really believe some of us need to say certain things to God before we leave today. So as we worship, as we sing together, just respond. Maybe there is a drifting happening and you didn't realize you're drifting. I didn't know we're drifting when we were in the sea. And we found it out way later. So use the opportunity to connect with the Lord. I'm just going to give time for this. And then if you want to pray with me, please come to the front. Amen.